This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
So welcome to the program, author and filmmaker Matthew Chapman. He joins us on the long line. He is the author of 40 Days and 40 Nights, Darwin, Intelligent Design, God, OxyContin, and Other Oddities on Trial in Pennsylvania. Good afternoon, Matt.
Good afternoon to you.
Thanks for joining us. I know you're quite busy, and we certainly appreciate your time.
It's always a pleasure to be here.
Matt, tell us, just generally speaking, introduce us to this book. It's quite the title here is, and subtitle is quite a mouthful.
Yeah, well, it sort of tells you what the book's about, I hope. It's the story of a small town in Pennsylvania called Dover, and a group of fundamentalists who got onto the school board and tried to get creationism in various forms taught in the science class, which is against the, you know, which violates the First Amendment's Establishment Clause by most interpretations, which prohibits the teaching of religious theories in science classes. You can teach religion in various forms in other classes, but it's sort of been decided that it's very divisive to have religion taught in science class, because the conflicts are so, you know, there's so many potential conflicts, because there are so many different versions of how the Earth was created and how man developed. And this happened in this small town, and 11 parents tried to stop it happening because they felt it was harmful to their kids. And, you can teach your kids whatever you like in church. And they sued in federal court to have it removed, and this is the story of their of this town and of that court case. It's a fantastic story.
And remind us again what the outcome of the trial was.
Well, it was kind of fascinating because the judge was a Republican judge, John Jones III, and he had been appointed by George W. Bush to the federal bench. And so, as you know, I sat in the court the whole time, and you know, you wondered how a judge, you know, like that would, how he would come down on the issue. And very courageously, he came down on the side of the of an interpretation of the Constitution that forbade this. And you know, they it originally began as plain creationism, trying to get creationism in there. You know, the world is, you know, 8,000 to 10,000 years old. God created it in 6 days. It morphed into a newer version of creationism called intelligent design, which kind of pretends to be a scientific theory, although there's no supporting evidence for it whatsoever. And really the issue was intelligent design science or was it a religious theory? And the judge said it's a religious theory without any scientific basis. And this was a very courageous move for him, and he has suffered some consequences.
Interesting that a conservative Republican judge took that point.
Yeah, he's an amazing guy. I mean, he's the ideal Republican. He's a very reasonable, compassionate man. And it was, you know, it was interesting to go down to the town, and I sat in on various meetings that had nothing to do with the court case. For example, an attempt to get a new group of people onto the school board, which was entirely bipartisan. It was literally down the middle, 5 Republicans, 5 Democrats, who just felt that they were being bullied by this particular interpretation of the Bible, really, of fundamentalist evangelical types. And, you know, there was a lot that was very encouraging about the whole thing. I mean, the 11 parents who sued did so at considerable personal risk, you know, to their friendships, to the way they felt in the community. They were insulted. There were certain restaurants they didn't like to go to because things happened there. And they stood up, and they were just a great group of people.
We're talking with Matt Chapman. He's the author of 40 Days and 40 Nights. Matt, what is your response to these fundamentalists that you speak of who feel very passionately, number one, that intelligent design is not creationism, that it is a true standalone science that just happens to support their religious beliefs and their interpretations through their faith, these folks who disagree with the very thing that your great-great-grandfather saw in nature. Charles Darwin, when he, you know, looked at nature and he looked at the processes that were going on, he said, you know what? I'm seeing something very interesting here.
Well, I mean, the conventional response to this is that there's no conflict between the two, and that you can have a belief in God and the Bible, and you can also have a belief in evolution. And, you know, it's hard for me to say, because if you read the Bible, if you read the first chapter of, you know, Genesis, I mean, do you read that as an allegory, as a work of symbolism? I don't believe that it was written that way. I believe it was written, you know, I'm a sort of a fundamentalist, if you like. I believe that that is what the Bible is saying. And the fact is that that has been disproved. I mean, there's sort of the world isn't 10,000 years old. It's much, much older than that by any kind of reasonable interpretation of the evidence. So it's kind of a difficult question to answer that. It's I find it awkward to talk to people about it, because, you know, most people I know believe in God. I don't believe in God. And I think that those people who read the Bible have to really ask themselves at what point you give up bits of it, and then what do you do with the rest of it? And, you know, I mean, there are people like, I mean, there's a new Creation Museum opened in Kansas.
Right.
I think it's Kansas. This guy, Ken Ham. And he says, well, if you don't believe the first chapter, why would you believe the rest of it? And I guess I sort of agree with him on that.
Matt Chapman's the author of 40 Days and 40 Nights. And this conversation that you're talking about having with these the fundamentalists is made all the more pressing when you live in this very country where many, many, many millions of people actually do not believe in evolution.
Yeah, well, it's quite startling, really, because, I mean, the evidence for evolution, I mean, putting aside my grandfather who laid out the sort of the big lines of the theory, but since then, you know, in sort of genetics and biochemistry, I mean, it's just been the DNA, you know, the discovery of how DNA works, it all supports the theory. I mean, 99.9% of scientists who work in this area believe in evolution. And yet, 54%, I believe, of Americans don't believe it. And you kind of think to yourself, well, why in this one area do they dispute the people, the scientists who clearly know better, who study it, and obviously it's a religious, you know, the reasoning behind it is religious. And that is disturbing, because it means that America's understanding of science is lagging way behind that of other civilized nations, because this is the theory of evolution has been described as the central theory of biology. And it's kind of vital to understanding avian flu, AIDS. It even has, it's even connected to global warming, in the way that, you know, plants and flowers and so on evolve under difficult circumstances. And so to not believe in evolution is to not be capable of dealing with those issues. And so, I mean, I suppose it doesn't matter if the public doesn't believe in it. But when you have people who are running for president, like Brownback and Huckabee and Tancredo, who say they don't believe in this, that to me is really, really a cause for alarm, beyond concern. I mean, alarm. Because these people are going to have to deal with these problems. And if they don't understand evolution, and I think it's really if they don't understand it, then they don't understand this vital part of science, and we're facing some very grave scientific issues.
We're talking with author Matt Chapman. Matt, aside from buying your book, 40 Days and 40 Nights, and reading it cover to cover, what is your recommendation for this country, then, if we are to inform people about science, if we are to assume that most people could understand this if they wanted to? What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I, you know, I chose to live in this country. I've admired America for a long time. Since I was a child, I had this admiration for America because it seemed like such a practical, enterprising, technologically advanced, reasonable kind of a place. And I think that America's sort of abandonment of science is a tremendous loss to the country. And if you want to understand science, evolution is actually one of the easiest theories to understand. The basic idea of it is simple and beautiful and fascinating. You know, it's a real, and you know, if you read my book, it sort of accidentally takes you through evolution because it tells the story of this trial that was a debate on the validity of evolution. And it's a beautiful theory. It's a beautiful, fascinating, spectacular. I don't find it depressing in the least. I think it's just beautiful. Science is a beautiful thing if you understand it. And certain aspects of science are very complicated. I mean, it's far more difficult to understand how the Earth goes around the sun and how gravity is formed and all of that stuff. That is way more complicated to understand than the basic ideas of evolution. So it's kind of odd that, I mean, the Bible says that the sun rises in the east and sets in the west and that, you know, it was stopped in the sky. So, I mean, one could really say if you took a literal biblical stand on science, one would have to reject the idea that the Earth goes around the sun rather than the reverse. And I just think that all of these things, if you look at them, they're kind of fascinating and kind of spiritually fulfilling, you know, to really understand the truth about how lucky we are to be this one place in the known universe that sustains life. That's a very beautiful thing, and if you can understand it scientifically, I think it can be spiritually satisfying. And I hope that my book shows you the ways in which that can be true, because you meet all of these scientists who have this kind of beautiful feeling about the world.
My guest is Matthew Chapman. His book is 40 Days and 40 Nights. The phone lines are open at 977-1070. David has been waiting patiently on line two. David, you're on with Matthew Chapman. You go right ahead.
Yes, I was just listening to the conversation, and I heard him make the statement that 99.9% of the scientists in this area do hold to the evolution theory. And I was wondering if he had actually spoken to 100% of the scientists in this area. I'm a pastor in the area, and I do hold to the Bible's view of creation. And it almost seems as though the speaker is saying that the Bible is totally untrue and that creation has been disproven. And as I look at the theory of evolution, and I've read a lot about it, I've done a lot of study on that, I don't see a lot of evidence for evolution either, as far as that goes. And I do think the Bible, you know, the Bible says that the life of the flesh is in the blood, so that is, and as we know with history, that before they used to practice the medical practice of bloodletting, and then they figured out that blood actually provided life for the body as far as that goes. So that proves one area of the Bible there. But my main point was the 99.9% of scientists in this area do believe in evolution. So
David,
if you could answer that, I would greatly appreciate it.
Thanks so much for the call.
I would like to ask the caller, I mean, I will answer that question, but I would like to ask him, you know, what evidence he produces on his side for his theory other than this one book that was written, you know, over many hundreds of years and gathered together many years after it was written into this book that is now supposed to be inerrant.
Well, what I would like to do with that to answer that question there is I won't avoid the question as he avoided mine. I would look at man's own body. Man's body is made by design. If you look at evolution, if you follow the lines of evolution,
you make that statement, but you don't back it up with any evidence. You just make statements.
I'm going to back it up with evidence here because with that, if you look at the design, everything that is in society today has a design to it.
Well, why couldn't it have been designed by a process of time and evolution?
You asked the question. I want to give you the answer.
David, do it quickly. I'm up against the clock here. But I do want to give you an opportunity.
Man's design. He has a hand on the right side, a hand on the left, arm on the right, arm on the left. His nose is not upside down. The very eye itself points to there being a design with that. If you talk to any person that deals with eye surgery, will tell you that man has a design. However, with your speaker, he has not yet answered the question. Has he talked to 100% of the scientists in this area?
David, thanks so much for the call. And Matt, I want to give you a chance to respond.
There have been many, many, many surveys done of scientists, and that is the basic conclusion of it. And the central organization for scientists in America, the most creditable organization, is the National Academy of Sciences. And they put out this statement, which was, it is no longer possible to sustain the view that living things did not evolve from earlier forms, including man. And that is, that's like the Southern Baptist Convention to Southern Baptists. I mean, this is the organization for scientists. And there have been many surveys done, and it maybe is 99.5 or 99.4, I don't know, but of the earth, in the earth sciences, it is absolutely accepted, and quite understandably so, because actually if you read about it, it's not complicated, it's very obvious, there are certain, like, why does a man have a belly button? Why does man have nipples? If he was designed, why would you have designed those sort of residual characteristics of an earlier time? So it just doesn't make sense. You know?
Matthew Chapman, he's the author of 40 Days and 40 Nights, Darwin, Intelligent Design, God, OxyContin, and Other Oddities, on trial in Pennsylvania. Matt, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, and I hope you have mentioned that the book, it is a book about people. The story is told through people in conflict, and it's very readable. It's not a kind of a polemic against religion. And many of the religious people who I met down there, I became very fond of, and I still speak to him. And in fact, my favorite character in the trial was a theologian called John Hort. So it's not a polemic. I mean, I feel strongly about this politically because I think we're in dangerous times. But the book is just a damn good read.
There you go. Matt, thanks so much for joining us. This interview will be archived in its entirety on the Charlottesville Podcasting Network at cvillepodcast.com.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.